Good morning. Brother Brian has asked that we read from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In my Bible, it's entitled The Unruly Tongue. That's one of our members of our body that we have to learn to control. And there's other things as well. We got to control our will, turn our will over to God, and there's many different things. The unruly tongue, James 3, verses 1 to 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And as I was looking over this here this morning, I have a Beside the Still Waters devotional book here in my Bible that we use at home. And in the back there was a title or a poem with the title, I Have No Rights. And I think in this world today, we hear, I have this right, I have that right. That's something we got to learn to control, what we think we have rights to. Now I'm going to read that poem. I thought it was good. I have no rights. I have no rights, no legal claim, no boast of wealth or worldwide fame. For I am not my own. The blood of Jesus claims my soul. He has redeemed me and made me whole, and I am his alone. Why then is there a war within, one side for right, the other for sin? I feel the front line heat. It is because the enemy tries hard to claim a part of me, but Christ will him defeat. I dare not think I am strong enough to win alone, no Satan bluff, for by my strength I'll fall. I must my captain's orders heed, his victory manual often read, and hasten at his call. Again, Mike said we need to follow the roadmap, our Bible. That is our master's victory manual. So I don't know exactly what Brian's going to speak on, but as we struggle maybe controlling our tongue or our will or whatever it is, we need to turn to the roadmap again. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer.
We greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of the sermon this morning is The Unrestrainable Tongue. The Unrestrainable Tongue. Although after the song we sang, I thought about changing it to, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a lot of truth in children's songs, isn't it? A lot we as adults can learn. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. I asked you this morning a question that was asked of me once. How would you answer this question? What is the greatest sin found in the church today? Whether we look at the church worldwide, whether we look at the church here at Pleasant Hill, what would you say is the greatest sin found among our members? That question was asked of me. And I asked a fellow minister, not at Pleasant Hill, but from a plain church, I asked, what's the greatest sin among believers today? And he told me, pornography. That never even crossed my mind when I answered it, but it's true. In today's world, and in all the technology that we have, pornography is on the increase. It's more and more of a problem in our numbers today. I answered him when he asked me what I thought. I said worldliness. Worldliness. And I believe it's true. I see us more and more being compressed into the mold of the world. I think it's a huge problem in the church today. But recently I changed my mind with how I answer that question. I think the biggest problem in the church today is the unruly tongue. I see it in my life. I see it in my home. And I see it in ours together as a church. The unruly, the untamable tongue. I had two experiences recently that convicted me of this. One, I was on the giving end. I had the unruly tongue. I said a harsh word to Martha. It was said in anger, and it was mean. And as soon as it left my lips, I wished I could take it back. You see, I hurt someone now that I loved. I saw her countenance fall. I saw her eyes glaze over. I had hurt the one that I loved because I had an unruly tongue. I didn't have it under control. I also was on the receiving end. Recently, I was talking to someone who I respect a lot. And they said, "You're nothing but a joke." I know no meaner words someone could have said to me. They could have said, "You're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly." The list goes on. But to say that you're a joke, that everything you worked for your whole life has been worthless, everything that you struggled for has no value. It's been a number of months, but those words still come back to me. When I prepare a sermon, they come back to me and say, "You're a joke." When I try to give direction, try to encourage someone, the words come flooding back to me, "You're a joke." That's how hurtful words can be. It's a serious problem in my life and in your life and in our church. And won't you admit this morning that we have a problem? And it's with our uncontrolled tongue. We have a problem in our homes. We have a problem in our families. And we have a problem in the church today, and that's the sin of an unruly tongue. Will you acknowledge this morning that you have that problem? Will you say, "Yes, I say at times things that are hurtful, things that drag people down. I have an uncontrollable tongue. I have an unrestrainable tongue. I have an untamable tongue," James calls it. To help us as we struggle with that, we'd like to look at a number of points that we can do in our lives to help tame the untamable tongue. The first thing we need to do is recognize just how hurtful our words can be. There is a saying that we all learned as a child to try to make us strong. You know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And it's a lie. It's a lie. We need to recognize that our words are hurtful. We need to change how we look at our speech. We make many excuses for ugly words that we say, don't we? We say it just slipped out. We say it's who I am. It's my temperament. It's my personality. I have an outgoing personality. Yet we need to recognize that the uncontrolled tongue is sinful and is hurtful. In the portion of scripture that Brother Marvin read to us, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of James, calls the tongue an uncontrolled fire. It burns. It burns and burns and keeps consuming over and over again. James calls it a world of iniquity. It's all-encompassing. It's sin that completely surrounds us. It's abounding in sin. God calls it, in verse 6, it says it will defile the whole body. Our speech can pull our whole body into sin. It says also an uncontrolled tongue is set on fire of hell. An uncontrolled tongue gets its fuel from Satan and its demons. It goes on to say the uncontrolled tongue is untamable, it's evil, it's a deadly poison. It hurts, it keeps hurting over and over again. Brothers and sisters, won't you admit this morning that our tongues are powerful weapons of hurt? They're vicious. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 18, verse 7. Proverbs 18, verse 7. You know, we often think of our words and our speech and the uncontrolled tongue hurting someone else. And it does. But Scripture tells us our uncontrolled speech also hurts us, the speaker. Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction. See, it's the one that's doing the speaking, Scripture tells us, is destroyed. Not only the one that we're speaking about, and his lips are a snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer, that means a gossiper. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. That translation is usually meant to believe tasty morsels. It's not a wound that we think about, but it's something that tastes good. A cookie, a piece of cake, the words of a talebearer are sweet, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. It feels so good sometimes to be a gossip, it says here. But yet, in a fool's mouth is his destruction, and on his lips are the snare of his soul. When we speak harsh words, we hurt ourselves. We hurt ourselves. Our words also hurt those that we're speaking against. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says the tongue stirs up anger. When we speak to someone, we have the ability to stir them up. We can stir up anger in them. We can stir up hate in them. The tongue has the ability to stir up anger. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says the tongue and words are piercing like a sharp sword. Our tongues hurt people. It pierces them like a sharp sword, driving its point into the center of the body. It hurts, it destroys. Proverbs 15:4 says our unruly tongue has the ability to break someone's spirit. Not only to hurt them for the time being, but to break their very spirit and destroy them. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death itself are in the power of the tongue. The first thing we have to do if we're going to get control of the uncontrollable tongue is to recognize just how much it hurts, just how much evil and destruction are in the power of the tongue. Step number two to control our uncontrollable tongue is understanding how this manifests itself. How an uncontrollable tongue shows up. What to look for in your life. What to look for in my life. How does an uncontrollable tongue manifest itself in our lives? Number one, in gossip. Gossip is sharing information that should never be shared. Whether it's true, whether it's false, gossip is talking, sharing information that should never be shared. Gossip, I don't believe, is that word appears in our King James Version, but that idea appears a lot. We see it in the words like whisperer. If you see that in Scripture, it means gossip, whisperer, talebearer, busybody. All these things describe the sin of gossip, and it's all too common among us. It's in my life, it's in your life, and it's in our church. As I read Romans 1, it amazes me. Romans 1, verses 29 and 30 lists a whole list of terrible sins that God says he denounces, and they will incur his wrath and his judgment. And there amongst the words, there are sins of murder and fornication and covetousness and deceit. And right there in the middle of them, we see gossip. Gossip. And these things ought not to be Secondly, our unruly tongue shows up as slander. Slander. Slander is making a false accusation about someone. And we do it all the time. We make judgments without knowing all the information. We make judgments based on what we perceive or how we see something, and many, many times, it's false. Slander, sometimes it shows up in Scripture as backbiting. Backbiting. And sometimes it shows up as the word slander. And I'd like to look at that just for a moment this morning. It shows up in 1 Timothy chapter 3 when it describes how deacons' wives should not be slanderers. They should not be false accusers. Shows up in Titus 2 and 3 where it talks about aged women should not be slanderers. Do you know what the Greek word is for slanderer? Diabolos. What's that sound like? Diablo, the devil. That same word that translates slander shows up many times in Scripture, and it's a word for Satan himself. Satan is the false accuser of the brethren. Do you see how terrible the sin is, the sin of slander, the sin of false accusation? Because it's acquainted with Satan himself. It's a trait of Satan. Is it a trait of ours? Is it here? Do we make false accusations about people? If we do, brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be. Number three, an untamable tongue also shows up in lies. In lies. Do we tell lies? Do I tell lies? At times I think I do. We call them little white lies. They're harmless. They're unimportant. They're innocent. They're pure. And we write them off. They're just little white lies. Do you know what God says about lies? Proverbs 12, he says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Abomination means disgust. God is disgusted with our lies. Proverbs 6:7, in the seven things that the Lord hates, he says, the Lord hates a lying tongue. And in Revelation 21:27, tells us that God hates lying so much that it can never be in his midst. It can never be in his presence. Do you tell lies? Do you label them as little white lies, harmless, innocent, unimportant? These things ought not to be in our lives. Number four, the unrestrainable tongue shows up as humor, joking, and making fun. I see this often in my life, and I see it in yours. What we call joking, what we call teasing, is often sin. You see, the line is, does it build someone up or does it tear it down? If we're joking, mockery of someone, and it's tearing them down, it's sin. Scripture calls mocking and making fun cruel. Can you think of an account in Scripture where mockery got someone in very deep trouble and it cost them their lives? We'd like to turn there briefly. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Kings 2, verse 22. Here we see the account of Elisha. He had seen Elijah go up to heaven, and he was proclaiming that, what he witnessed, what he saw. 2 Kings 2, 22. So were the waters were healed unto this day, according to saying of Elisha when he spake. And he went up from hence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city. Little children, these aren't innocent little children here. If you do research and Bible study on that, they're young adults. They're youth. They know better. And there came out forth little children out of the city, and it mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. They made fun of him for his preaching about Elijah ascending into heaven and going up. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tare 42 children of them. You see, they were condemned because they made fun and mocked one of God's own. One of God's own. Do we make fun of God's own? We do. We do. We do. Ephesians 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. In our humor and in our joking around, do we make fun of God's people? Do we make fun of each other? Do we mock each other? These things ought not to be. Number 5, an uncontrollable tongue shows up as unkind words. Unkind words. Words that we say every day. Are they kind? Are they kind? Just because they're truthful, it doesn't make them kind. Do our words build up? Do they encourage? If they don't, they're unkind and should not be said. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When we speak, do we say mean things? Things that tear down? Things that are unkind? If we do, these things ought not to be. Number 6, the uncontrolled tongue often shows up in idle words. In idle words. Matthew chapter 12, you remember the account, I'm certain. Jesus healed a man that was dumb. Jesus healed the man that was possessed by the devil, blind and dumb. And the Pharisees got mad and they raged about it. And they said some stupid things. They accused Jesus of being in league with Satan himself. They accused Jesus of sorcery. And in light of that context, Matthew 12, verse 36, Jesus says this, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What are idle words? I read somewhere that an average person speaks 20,000 words a day. I know some speak more, some speak less, but the average person speaks 20,000 words a day. How many of them are idle words? Words said carelessly, without being in control. That's what an idle word is. You just think it and say it. Uncontrolled words, useless, purposeless. I wonder if we don't use a lot of idle words in a day's time. Proverbs 29:20 says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than for him. Idle, say it and think it and say it kind of attitude is what idle words are. Idle words are hasty, impulsive, and they result from an old uncontrolled tongue. And brethren, they should not be in our midst. Number 7, and the last one that I'd like to point out this morning. How an untamed tongue shows up in our lives in that it sows discord among the brethren. In Proverbs there where we talked about 7 things that the Lord doth hate, he talks about one that sows discord among the brethren. Can any of us this morning be charged with that sin, sowing discord among the brethren, stirring up controversy, making others think evil of one another, trying to put sides in the church, trying to form cliques and divisions, stirring up division and discord among the brethren. Brethren, I tell you, that should not be in our midst. We could go on this morning. The list goes on. Our uncontrolled tongue shows up as blasphemy, shows up as profanity, shows up as sarcasm, shows up as bearing false witness. These are all characteristics of an uncontrolled tongue. We looked at 7 this morning: gossip and slander and lies and mockery and unkind words, idle words, and words that sow discord among the brethren. And all these things should not be in our midst. They should not be in our lives. They should not be in our homes. And they should not be in our church. So we looked at how to control the uncontrollable tongue, is recognize how hurtful it is, to recognize where it shows up in our lives, and 3, recognize the source, where we have to go to correct it. What does Scripture tell us is the source of an uncontrolled tongue? Turn to Matthew 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. In this same account that we looked at or discussed about Jesus and the idle words, Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every word that a man shall speak, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's the heart. It's the heart. We need to examine our hearts to control our tongue. Turn back to James that was read for you this morning. James chapter 3, we get the same message here. James chapter 3, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You see, it's in the heart. Do you have trouble with your tongue? It's because you have heart problems. God help us. We can't say it just slipped out. It may have just slipped out, but it's a problem with your heart if it slips out. We can't say it's who I am, it's my personality. We can't say it's just who I am. We can't say it's I didn't mean it, because it tells what's in our heart. What we say tells the condition of our hearts. Scripture tells us it's in the heart. Our words are the fruit of what are in our hearts. Our words reveal what's in our hearts. And transformation and control of the tongue has to start with transformation of the heart. That's why James says no man can control the tongue. We need it today. We need a transformation of our heart. The heart is mentioned 1,009 times in Scripture. The heart is our innermost desires, our appetites, our will. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." If you want to control your tongue this morning, you have to start at your heart. A changed heart, only God can do it. God has to be the one to change your heart. You don't have enough power on your own. Ezekiel 36, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them." It's the same message in the New Testament. It's only God. Only God, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Only God, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, can change your heart and get control of your unruly tongue. We can be changed. We don't have to go on hurting people. Hebrews 9, verse 13. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot or to God, purge your conscience from your dead works to serve the living God?" God can tame your untamable tongue. And it starts with changing your heart. Today, won't you pray for God to show you just how bad your speech is? Brother Mike showed you a stethoscope to listen to your heart. Won't you pray that God would provide a stethoscope for you to hear your heart? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." How we need it. God's stethoscope, God's illumination on our hearts. Won't you today repent with godly sorrow of the hurt and the pain your tongue has caused your wife, your family, and your church? Won't you desire to change? "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Won't you pray this morning for God to cleanse you, to change your heart? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Won't you this morning allow the Holy Spirit to guide you? It's not easy. The sins of the tongue, of an unruly tongue, grows year after year. It's a habit, and habits aren't easy to break. It's not easy, and the change will not be immediate. But day by day, step by step, your heart can be transformed and your tongue can be controlled. You can have victory. You can tame the untamable tongue. You have to allow God control of your heart. You have to repent and ask God to change you. Do you struggle with an uncontrolled tongue? Do you struggle with an unruly, unrestrainable tongue? You need not live with that. through the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, you can be victorious over this sin in your life. We'll kneel for prayer. Won't you pray for me that I might have victory in that area? And I'll pray for you. Let's kneel.